poodles, boxers, and pugs, or the strangest combination of all of the above, whatever shape, size, or scruff. That's your dog. That's your dog.
Hey guys, welcome to Dog Stories. My name is Serene, and alongside my dear friend Maria Bell in Oakville, Ontario, we'll be talking to people all over the world about our favorite part of life, dogs. Today, my guest is my best friend and actor and part-time dancer, Jesse O'Neill. Jesse is coming at us live from Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Jesse, welcome to Dog Stories.
Hi guys, how you doing?
They can't hear you. This is a taping. Jess, let's get started. Tell me about your dog Smokey.
My dog Smokey was a lab, black lab, who we got when he was just a puppy. We went to the this is years ago. This is 2000 and mid-2000s, I think, and he, we went to pick up a dog, I think at the time, my sister and her boyfriend, they were looking for a pit bull, and we went somewhere to look, and there was this, while we were looking around the other dogs, there was this lab that was running around the pet store, that we were, that kind of ran and crashed into our feet, and he was the only dog, basically, that they let loose around the store, and you know they weren't really looking for that at the time, so they kept looking around, but I sat on the floor the whole time with him in my lap, and by the end of that trip that we went to, we kind of just decided that he was the one, you know, you don't even realize it, but he's literally sitting right there in our laps, you know, and it just kind of became, he became the choice at that point. We walked him out, brought him home.
Sounds like he chose you.
Yeah. No, he definitely did, because there were definitely a lot of people in there, but he wasn't paying them no mind. He knew where he was coming. yeah, a bit of fate, so to speak. So,
how'd you land on the name Smokey?
I can't really remember. So,
were you high?
quite possibly. Yeah. Most deaf. I can't remember what it was. I know that we were sitting on the porch when we came up with it. It could have been like his color, like he was like a smoky black kind of color, and it could have came from that, or just from, you know, the blunts that we were passing around. yeah, but Smokey was his name.
Were you the main caretaker for Smokey? Were you his parent, or were you one of his parents, or how did it work?
So my sister is the one who went with her ex-boyfriend, and it was supposed to be her dog, but it kind of became just the family dog at that point in time. Like, I think she had the intentions in her mind that she was going to have her own dog that was going to be by her side all the time, but that's just not what it was. Also, my mom was always in the kitchen cooking, so that's where he was at. I'd like to take the liberty in saying that, like, I know I showed him a lot of things and taught him a lot of things. But yeah, he was all of ours.
So family dog.
Family dog.
But you were his main homie, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. I mean, at least from what I know, yeah.
Was he your road dog, your shotgun?
My house was kind of the main hub, I think, for a lot of my friends, my sister's friends. We had a little bit of a party house. You know, we always had big, huge, we had like fajita margarita nights, all these things. So all the holidays, all the things. And so we did a lot of hanging at home. So, we were always there, and everybody that would come to our house, Smokey was kind of like their second dog. So we were more homebodies, all of us, I would say. But he definitely did come around with us early on, probably until like his later years. But again, like I said, anything that he could could do to stay in the kitchen. That's where he was at, waiting for something to fall onto his plate, you know?
Yeah, an opportunist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but he was really great. Really special dog who, you know, we had another dog that I remember having when I was younger, but not for long. I think we either got him in the tail end of his life or whatever. His name was Rusty, but Smokey was like my first, you know, my first real dog, I think, that I remember having, you know?
Yeah. Your only real friend.
Yeah. But yeah, we had a lot of good times, man. You know, I got a lot of stories with him of things that happened.
Give me your best story.
The best story? I mean, there's one that's kind of sad, but it's still pretty insane. And I guess I'll just go through them quick. One that I know that he ran away from the house at one point in time, and he bolted down the street. And I remember I was running down. We lived like on a hill. It was called Iron Mountain. And he was sprinting down the hill, and I'm running after him. And I think my stepdad was like not too far behind me, and we were chasing him down. We lived right by a main road, and he bolted straight across what we called in the town, it was Route 94.
Oh my god.
It's like 50 something miles an hour. So he sprinted straight across, and he got hit right in front of me by this car, and he basically got hit in like the hind part of his leg, like on the side in the back there, and he got hit, and I watched him roll in front of me like, I don't know, 10, 12 times he rolled. The car ended up stopping for a second. They take off, screaming and yelling, running after this car, and he just kind of got up and kept walking around with his tongue out of his mouth like he had no idea he even got hit and was still about to keep running. You know, pretty gruesome. At some point, there's blood all over the place and stuff, and we get to the point where we're gonna, you know, we don't know what to do, and this guy, this really good Samaritan in like a wagon, like a Subaru wagon or something, pulls over, and he's like, throw him in the car. But we couldn't get him in there somehow, so we basically had to, like, bring him over there, like, you know, the vet was, like, right down the street from us, like, probably 2 minutes away, and we basically just walked him over there, and we both showed up there, like, covered in blood. But the whole time, he was still just tongue out.
He was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He was fine. But a similar story is that I was driving him. I was going, we had a huge party at the house we were having. I took him with me to go get groomed. And we had this big Denali that we had, and he basically stepped on the window. The locks weren't on the window, and he stepped on the window in the back of the car. And I remember I was looking ahead, and I saw it like my side view mirror. I saw the window coming down. I saw him kind of putting his head out and then half his body. And like the next thing I knew, I was like, I was yelling. I was like, Smokey! Like, he jumped right out of the car on that same Route 94 while I was doing about 50 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
And I grabbed him by the side of his skin, on like the side of his ribs, and was squeezing, holding him while I was driving the car, and there was all these cars coming, and I just whipped off the side of the road, and he was slipping out of my hand, and I felt him slipping, so the second he actually fell, I just whipped the car over so I didn't like hit him with the back tire and drove off the road, and again saw him in the mirror rolling down the street, down the highway, and then got straight up. All these cars stopped, everybody stopped, and he got straight up and just bolted into this neighborhood, and I, like, go to run after him. I think I drove after, got out in this neighborhood, and he ran through all these people's yards, and then he got in this backyard of this person's house, and their door was open, and he went into this random person's house, just down into their, like, the lower half of their house, And I'm like yelling in there after them. I'm yelling in the house, and I don't hear anybody. So I just went in the
door. Oh my God.
So now I'm literally running around in a person's house. I think I could hear them upstairs.
Oh
like
my
God. Dinner or doing something. I'm running all around the downstairs of the house, like trying to find him. And finally got him, and I had to walk him. Like, and I think we left through their front door, just walked out, and I left the car running, door open down the street, and I think he might have been suicidal. Like, I don't know what it was. It could have been me that he was trying to just get away from.
Yeah, I mean, spending his entire life with you, oh my God, that's enough to want to kill yourself,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't blame the guy. But he was really special though. He had like certain things about him. Because I come from an Italian family, with my mom who cooks a million things, like Smokey got pretty spoiled to the point where my mom always had different kinds of cheese and shit that she would put on for pastas. We had locatelli and Parmigiano Romano and like all the different cheeses, but Smokey would sit at his bowl and he wouldn't touch his food until he got a little bit of like grated cheese put over the top of his food.
Wow.
He would never touch it, just sit there and wait. He was special, man. He was a special guy.
That's crazy.
But
I've heard a lot of things about dogs. I've never heard of them refusing to eat until there was cheese grated on. That is, man, that's wild.
Yeah, spoiled. But he's a guy who knows what he likes, you know?
He is an Italian through and through.
You can appreciate that about a man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
If Smokey was a person, what would he be like? Like, who would you, what, like, dress him up for us.
Who would he be like?
Yeah.
I don't know why this comes to my mind, but because it's not right at all. The first thing that comes to my mind, I wanted to say, like, James Gandolfini. <It's> Tony Soprano, like, but I don't know. You know, loving guy. We also had a cat, Squirt, and he basically like trained Squirt to be like a dog cat.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Squirt was always, while Smokey would sit in his bowl, Squirt would watch Smokey and be like, oh, we're sitting here waiting. And they both would sit there and they both would look up to the left at the stove and my mom, and they both wouldn't touch their food. And I know that Squirt only didn't do it because he saw Smokey not doing it. He's like, all right, I'm supposed to be doing this. We just sit here, we look up, we wait. You know, and I'm sure Squirt got like different kinds of maybe fish put in or different, you know. But yeah, they'd always go outside together. Like, I remember Smokey would run out, and we had a big, huge property, and he had like the collar so he could run free around the whole property. And yeah, Bishop always rolled with him. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, he'd be like me, I guess. probably me, but just with more hair.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know Jesse, he's bald. I just thrown it out there.
Yeah.
So, Jesse, the thing is, every animal has more hair than you.
I mean, most infants have more hair than I do. I'd like to think he'd be like me. You know, he was, from when he was a puppy, like, I always had him with me, like, especially in that time, I always was just, like, him and Squirt both and all my pets that I've ever had, I always picked them up and just carried them right and cradled them like a baby almost. I would grab them by, like, the scruff almost, and I'd always pick them up and just throw them right in there, and I would just walk around with them all the time.
Hmm.
Yeah, very lovable. I do remember him. I know you told me a story about Marley, how he just got peed on, but I do remember
yeah,
my dog Smokey peeing on a friend that we had. He's no longer with us. His name was Kenny. We called him Chonko. But I remember we were all sitting in a circle one time, and Smokey just came up and just was staring at him, not in any kind of way of, like, I think just out of curiosity. And then he just came up behind him and just peed down his back. You know, but everybody knew Smokey's name. Like, I'd have friends that drove down the road, and they would yell out the window to Smokey, like, when they were driving by, because he couldn't run out. We had the fence, so he would just kind of sit there by the edge of the property, and, like, he was the, I think very likable, knowable guy, you know? Like, popular guy amongst the people.
Friendly neighborhood dog.
Like, also neighborhood watcher, because this just popped in my head for some reason, but I do remember there was a bear outside one time, and Smokey was a very lovable dog, family guy, you know, in all the ways, but my stepdad Kirk was outside one day, and a bear came walking up to him or something in the yard, and Smokey busted through the door and just faced off with this huge ass bear, and we were all like freaking out. I remember, like, we saw him go out there, and he was, I've never had heard him growl like that in my life. Like, he had his kind of paws down like this, back up, and he just sat there like growling out with this bear, dude, and we're screaming at Smokey to come in. We want to run out and come and grab him, and he just sat there growling, barking, and this bear eventually, like, he kept getting closer and standing off with him, and the bear eventually just left, and Smokey came back inside, and his, like, legs were, like, shaking. He was, like, walking in, shaking like this, and he just fell on the ground.
Oh, my God.
His legs were, I think he just had so much adrenaline going through his body that he just, you know, his legs kind of just gave out underneath him, and we're like, I'm like grabbing him and holding him on the floor, crying probably, like thinking he, like, something could have happened to him, and, like, you know, but lovable guy. But when I saw that day right then and there, that when shit went down in his mind, like, yeah, and that's probably the only time I ever heard him growl like the way he did that day, and I think he would have died right there in that moment if he thought he had to, you know, which was like the G-est shit to ever see. I was like, you G as fuck. I was like, that was gangster as fuck. Holy shit.
That is an insane story. Loyalty, and, like, you threatened my family.
I don't even know what he would have done, because he wasn't like a dog. He never bit anything ever, or anyone, or, like, you know, I never would have. So I would have been surprised to see, but yeah.
I mean,
he was what they call a good boy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those things when your family gets threatened, you know, the claws come out. And what's funny about that story is, you could replace the name Smokey with Jesse, and I would have believed the same story. Even all the way down to the, you know, just coming inside and just falling on the ground because he's passing out from, like, jacked up adrenaline. All of a sudden, just whoosh, like all of it. I actually kind of saw it happening to you as you were telling me the story.
Yeah,
that is totally your dog. He was totally your dog.
Yeah, I mean, well, for the people that don't hear this podcast, you know, I usually tell the story of bars and shit, but I, as myself, you know. So any of you out there, any of the people that ever hear this, you know, if you hear me saying it, just, it's my business.
Don't ruin it for the rest of them.
Yeah.
So tell me then, if you know, like I said, that does remind me a lot of you. So, do you think Smokey was just born like that and that's just who he was? Or do you think that was your influence? Or do you think you were soulmates and meant to find each other because you were cut from the same cloth?
It's a good question. I mean, I think that it's probably a little bit of all of them. I think he instinctually probably has those things. Because I guess you're right. I'm probably that way too. Like, I'm also a pretty lovable dog until you fuck with my family, and then I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Like, I'll kill you dead. So, that's why I think, yeah, I mean, the closest person I think he would have been like is me, I think, in that way. And I think that he, I was really surprised. I think we were all really surprised, and he definitely got himself a bone that night, or he got himself like something extra special, I think, if I remember correctly. Like, we were all, I'm pretty sure we all sat around with him on the couch downstairs, just, I think we all sat there kind of holding him. I think the whole family did. I think we were all there at that time, like, and we just, and he, it was a very, you know, a proud moment for us and for him, and it was like, yeah, I mean, that's family right there, man. And I would do the same thing for him, you know. I think if it came down to it and something happened, like when I was holding him on the side of that car, it was the craziest thing, because I'm driving and I literally stick my hand out the window and I just grabbed him by the skin.
Right.
And I couldn't even see him, but I remember I got him, and he was hanging by the skin off the side of his car, and, like, that was an instinctual thing that just, you know, even I was surprised that I caught him.
It
was pretty nuts, but, yeah, man, talking about now, like, I really, miss my dog, man.
Well, how do you carry on his legacy? I'm curious to know that. I mean, I would say, I tell people this all the time, but you're the most dog-like person I know. And I mean that in the highest compliment. I mean, like, you speak dog. You know, I've seen you speak dog. You know, even down getting down to the level, being calm. They all kind of look at you a little bit differently, like you're one of them or something. I've noticed there's something about the way dogs look at you is unique. And so I'm just wondering, how do you carry on Smokey's legacy? Is the way you are and the way you are with other dogs a part of that?
You know, that's, I mean, you had asked who he would be in the, who he would be in the human version, and I think I would say that I would be him in the dog version. You know? Yeah, I think he was always just extremely composed and just sweet and nice and warm, and, you know, I never remember him having a single thing with another dog. Like, I don't ever remember seeing him ever even bark at another dog really like that, you know. Like, he was just always chilling. I don't know, I think when it comes to speaking dog, it's like something that's it's crazy, because, like, dogs can understand us, but, like, and we can understand them by, like, seeing certain things that they might do. They might be standing by their bowl, they're hungry, they might whine standing by the door, but they do figure out a way to communicate with us. And I think to earn trust from them, which is, like, extremely important, is to, like, figure out a way to speak to them in their language first, you know. Like, it's almost out of respect. Like, if you were somewhere and you were trying to speak to in another country or something, like, I think out of respect for them, you would try, and especially if you're in their home, you know what I mean, like, just trying to communicate with them on the best level you can. And sometimes that means getting down on all fours and you know, walking around a couple circles and sniffing some butts. Or, like, some are a little more timid when you first meet them, which, you know, you had said that not too long ago, the dog that was brought there. And I can't really 100% remember, but I know that she was scared, the one that was at your place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One time we were fostering a dog that was in a bit of a jam, to cut long story short. Dog was in a bit of a jam. Dog was super freaked out. Dog walked into my house, into my apartment, and took a very stressful dump on my carpet, which we had to get rid of. And she just was panicked. She'd just been, you know, given away by her family, didn't know who we were, didn't know where she was. And I, to be honest, was pretty... I was just kind of worried, and I didn't really know what to do. And I consider myself to be pretty good with dogs, but I didn't know what to do. And but you managed to calm her down. You just talked quietly. You were super patient. Sat on the ground in front of her. Didn't make any sudden movements or anything. And eventually, she just, I guess, felt your vibe, the energy in the room, and she just calmed down. And it was pretty incredible to watch because I didn't know what to do. And it very rarely happens with dogs, but this dog was just so stressed. And you totally brought her back down to earth, and I guess she trusted you, you know, even though she didn't know you.
Yeah, I think, like, with especially with female, or with, you know, female dogs... girl dogs, like, I think there's, like, a softer tone that you have to take with them, and I don't know, it's, like, just trying to, I mean, I'm a big believer in energy and things like that, and, you know, it's kind of, like, giving them off the best energy that you can to, like, hopefully have that go in them and be able to feel comfortable, and I feel like almost... I'm trying to remember that night, but I feel like it's almost like if you put yourself in a position and put yourself at an equal with them, they don't feel like surrounded by dominance, you know, like in this new space. It's kind of like they're like, oh, you're dog too. You also dog. Mm. And you're not scared. So,
Is that how dogs sound in your mind? They just drop the words in between?
but I do, you know, I think we all do try and imagine what, you know, what our dogs would sound like, and...
Every day. Every day.
I mean, I think with Marley, with you, it's nuts because, like... You know, dogs are representations of their owners, and when you and Marley are anywhere, I remember when you first got them, you know, because in times, in certain places, there might be times where, like, you know, in moments that if something is funny, you might laugh, it might be a big, boisterous laugh, like, and Marley follows right behind with barks, and it's almost like even in the throat, you can hear that he's your son. he tries to match your laugh with his bark. It's like, and that's, you know, it's crazy, you know, because they're of, like, a different DNA, different species, you know, whatever it is, but they still kind of take after their owner, and they have that in them, you know, to see their person and just love them and be like, that's my person.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to walk like him and talk like him and the best I can in my dog way and do it, you know?
You know, there's, this actually is a perfect segue to, the next thing I wanted to talk about, which was, DMX, the dog. Who,
rest in peace.
Yeah, tragically... passed away way too early. He was 50 years old. He passed away on Friday. So I've been in my feelings a lot about it recently because I really loved DMX growing up. And I know you love DMX even more than I did, and have continued to like blast DMX's music. And so I did some reading up on DMX. And do you know why they call him the dog?
Why they call him the dog?
Yeah, why his nickname was the dog?
His deep and guttural like growl and persona that he took on.
Let's get it on.
Probably. He was, yeah, because that's what he was, right? He was the dog. But also, he had a deep, profound love for dogs. Turns out, from what I was reading, he used to leave his house because he wasn't really happy in his home. His mom would have, you know, different, you know, father figures there all the time, and he didn't get along with them. Right. So eventually, he just took to the streets, and that's where he made friends with stray dogs. And so they were they became his best friends.
And he found, because they were in the same boat as him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's the thing. It's like, we're all, like, even in that regard, like, someone like him, he's just a stray dog, you know? And there's common ground that you can find with dogs. And I would think that he's someone who does that, and has that a lot in him, because I think a lot of people know DMX. You know, we all know, you know, when we think of DMX, there's like one thing we all hear, and it's like, what? Mm. You know, it's like...
And barks.
And, yeah, arr,
arr, arr, arr.
That grizzly-ass shit, but it's like... But DMX also had a really soft and warm and humble and nice side to him, and like, you know, which I don't really think a lot of people know about.
I think it's coming out more and more now, but
yeah, I mean, it's sad, because I think like in the time that he went through his ups and downs, like the media has a way of spinning things, and I think a lot of people made you know, probably judgments on him and different things over time. And I think for a little while, he, you know, last decade, it's like maybe he wasn't as relevant, but he was also humbled in that. I don't think he, like, there was never any ego. He's not somebody who ever was like, I used to be a somebody. Like, he always kept it real, kept it 100, like, all the time. And I will say that there was probably a lot of times of, especially in the Smokey years when we got him, when like DMX was like very prevalent and like in our lives, mine, my sister's, in my house, we had our Jeep that we have, and we had our boat that we had also, and they were the Rough Rider 1 and the Rough Rider 2.
Mm.
Which is how deep it went in our household with DMX. Like, you know, I remember the first time I saw a DMX album, and I was in this kid's house, Albert Mamani's house. We were in fifth, sixth grade, whatever that was at that time. Such a distinct character, you know what I mean? And I read something recently, I think, about, you know, back in the day, there was no social media, and when you came on as like an artist, you had to really bust your fucking ass to get there and have your own thing, which is why I think like nowadays there's a lot of dilution in the artists today. We used to have big artists, you know, and it's not the same anymore. But DMX was one of those. He was one of those. Everybody who's everybody knows DMX and knows what his voice is. The same thing if you see a Morgan Freeman meme, and you immediately start reading it in Morgan Freeman's voice. You know, DMX is also one of those people. Samuel Jackson, James Earl Jones, so on and so forth. But DMX is one of those people, man.
Iconic.
Yeah.
I read an article where he explains how he used to bring stray dogs home with him. It's an interview from 1998, and he said, I used to take dogs on the street. I used to bring them home if I could, make somewhere for them to sleep right outside the building. I had dogs as long as I can remember, you know. There was always a dog running loose somewhere. You gotta kick it with him for like half an hour before he trusts you. And that's pretty on point with your philosophy, your practice when it comes to making friends with dogs, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh, the reason I brought up this whole segue was DMX, I read a story about how he was in a rap battle in New York on the street in like Yonkers, and his dog was with him. And at one point, he used his dog's name in the verse, and his dog barked.
He would incorporate
him into his rap. His dog, essentially, right. His dog knew how to ad-lib a rap.
His dogs, it would come in at certain points and times in the song, and it, like, fed to his persona, you know?
Right.
Like,
but it, like, it's great. To say that, you know, all to say that, like, you know, when your dog is, your twin flame almost, that's how his dog was to him. He was, like, the hardest rapper, and his dog was too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. You know. DMX was a legend. I think a lot of us are just really going back to that place where we fell in love with DMX without even knowing it, and now we're like mourning a friend who's not there, and it's just a crazy thing to process, actually. But it's very cool to be reading all these cool stories about him, and hearing how lovely he was and how much he loved dogs. He's got his dog's name tattooed on his back. A guy who goes and takes stray dogs home and tries to give them a safe place to stay is all right by me.
Right. Everybody has a DMX story or times when you can remember, like,
I mean, it all starts coming back to you, man. Like, when you listen to the old tracks, and even when you throw on his old music videos, like, he's got dogs and, like, he's got his pit bulls and stuff in those music videos, you know? And, you know, it's nice that even if he had to go, at least he's almost got there's a rebirth, a resurgence, I'll say, of his music, of the man he was, of his love for dogs. You know, so it's nice. And as we've both said a couple times this week, as you know, all dogs go to heaven. So
yeah, they do.
You know, so that guy's gonna be all right. I actually just feel bad for the world that we don't get him anymore. You know.
Yeah. I know he was trying to like get himself back on and in the game for a while, throwing himself out there, like trying to get on with new artists. You know, and I wish that I was really wishing that he pulled through. Like, you know, I'm a spiritual person in a lot of ways, but also in points and times I'll stop. And this was one of those times, like, I remember seeing Nas post something about it. That was the first thing I saw that he was in, like, critical condition. And I had no idea, and I immediately stopped, and I was like, please, universe, God, whatever there is, like, if he's in this bad of shape, whatever, because nobody knows what it is that happened to him, but it's like, whatever this is, like, please let him pull through. Please let him get, like, the comeback that he deserves, like, after all these years that he served everybody bangers.
Right.
That everybody, you know, from middle school to high school throughout, like, and even past then, like, I've continued to, like, listen to his music. He did a lot of stuff, you know, the Rough Riders albums that they did. He did a lot of stuff with the Lox and was, like, in, you know, I'm still, like, you know, occasionally I try and, like, throw some old stuff on. I try and stick with the times in most regards and, like, hear stuff, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, when it comes to, like, listening to those lyrics versus, like, new ones, they just resonate and they sit with you. You know what I mean? You actually feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking talking about, like, new, like, mumble shit, mumble rap, like, whatever, you know, and there's a few songs I like, I think, here and there about, like, but it's just not the same. It's not the same as it used to be, and,
yeah,
you know, I think now, hopefully, the comeback that he's been trying to get for years, that he gets, and you and I are both, like, huge, you know, Heath Ledger fans, and we've talked about that too. Like, he left behind, like, this body of work, and died before he got to see his finest hour. But there's, it's insane, because, like, as artists, like, there's something poetic in it that, like, they, he would do, like, such a performance like that that he did, and then would leave this earth right after it. It's like same thing with like a James Dean or, you know, anybody else that's happened with. The one thing I did read is that he has an album that he just did that hasn't been released yet.
Right,
so
it's done. It's coming out. So
I don't know. Maybe you sent it. I forget.
I did. Yeah, yeah. He finished an album, and it's gonna come out, and I'm sure it's gonna be pretty great. Yeah, the dog's got one more bark in him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so that's great.
It's gonna be special. I mean, I think you know, to just cap off, like, I think it's the unfortunate thing that our dogs never live as long as we want them to. You know, they just don't, and it's one of those things that we have to just accept and appreciate everything that they gave to us while they could. You know, and DMX gave everything to us, and 50 is way too young for him to go. But man, if I did forget about DMX for a few years, I will not going forward, because I was a kid when I was listening to DMX, and now as an adult, I'm like, that guy is staying in my playlist. Like, anytime I need to feel good, anytime I need to feel pretty much any emotion, you can go through and find in a DMX song. And
he gave it to him.
He gave it to him.
he gave it to him.
Well, with that, Jess, I will say thank you for being on Dog Stories today. We barely scratched the surface of all the things we wanted to talk about. So I'll see if we can get you on again, maybe in 3 to 5 years. No, but in all honesty, I don't think it's been as easy to get someone to tell really great stories, and that's kind of one of your best qualities, is telling really great detailed stories. So I mean, I was kind of on autopilot this entire time. I'll definitely have to get you back, and we'll just I'm sure you got a couple more dog stories to tell.
Yeah, I mean, as far as storytelling, you know, if I got it from anywhere, it's from the dog, you know?
From the dog. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I'll say real quick, shout outs to my god doggies. Carlito, Shaw, my boy Marley, right over there with you. My Wyatt Riley, Letty Riley, all my other god pups that I got. Hopefully you all, nothing happens to anybody. be a full house.
For everybody who doesn't know, Jesse is Marley's goddad, and also goddad to like 4 other dogs, which he just named. But you know, Jesse, the other thing is, we all entrusted you to take care of our dogs, probably because we want the dogs to take care of you.
Yeah, I need it. I need the attention.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, we'll definitely have to do this again real soon. So thanks so much for stopping by and taking a break from your busy movie career and series career. Check out Godzilla King of the Monsters if you guys haven't seen it. Our boy has a nice little role in there. Jesse, what else you got going on right now you want to tell the people about?
trying to think of. I had
Watchmen.
The season finale of Watchmen got a little piece in there at the in the finale. The show Hightown that's coming out on it's already out. First season's out on Stars, and I will also be in the finale of that. You know, there's murder and drugs, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, that's kind of what's new, and more stuff coming, I think, as well.
Cool. Maybe in your next movie, you'll get to play a dog.
I do want to say, you know, I would probably say my favorite dog movie of all times.
That's our segment, Leave a Dog a Bone. Tell us, what is your favorite dog movie of all time? Tell us what to watch.
Turner and Hooch is my favorite dog movie of all time.
Starring the Tom Hanks.
With the guy, the man, the myth, Tom Hanks, you know. I think I saw his relationship with Hooch throughout the movie and how he was, and, you know, just, so if no one's ever seen Turner and Hooch, which I'm sure everyone has, like, I grew up on it, religiously watching it all the time, but, yeah, Turner and Hooch.
Okay, mm-hmm. We'll give it a watch, and yep. Maybe when we watch Turner and Hooch, you and me could, we'll review it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think it's on Disney Plus now, so those of you interested, you can find it.
That's a good one.
All right, cool. All right, Jess, well, thanks so much for being on Dog Stories, and we'll have you back real soon.
Yeah, great. This was fun, and thanks for having me.
Of course.
Honored to be here.
How about give us a bark for the road?
Where my dog's at? I said, where my dog's at?
And we're out.
Dog.
Got any dog stories you'd like to share? Bet you do. So shoot over an email to dogstoriespodcast@gmail.com. You digging these episodes of Dog Stories? We'd love it if you left us a review. Or, hey, subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. Music provided by Sarah Margaret Huff, and barks provided by Marley and Lexi.